Hey guys, this is HVK from Americana, and if you happen to like this episode, please consider following the show on Spotify. Just search for Americana, Apple Podcasts, same thing on there, or any other podcasting platform such as Podbeam. And if you happen to really like the show, feel free to follow us on Twitter, handle at HVK Americana, where you can get all of our updates there, as well as random shit posts from myself in the realm of comics, music, movies, games, all the stuff that we, V and I, talk about here regularly, including writing quality and stuff like that, as well as sometimes more just colorful culture commentary in general. And without further delay, here's the episode. What's up, everybody? HVK, you're listening to Americanon. I wanted to start off by saying Happy Easter to all those who celebrated. Hope everybody enjoyed themselves, and I hope all the kiddos out there, if you happen to have any, they enjoy themselves in some good old-fashioned egg hunting. But that's not what this episode's about. This episode is going to be a review, more specifically, I guess technically a retro review, because this is the first time I've been reading it, of Volume 3 of Grant Morrison's Batman run, the long-awaited conclusion to this omnibus trilogy that I've been on. And we're going to get into volume. It's basically going to be broken down in two parts. The first part being just a review of Volume 3 itself. And then I want to review kind of his run in totality. Because I think it's important to kind of delineate the two, considering how it went. And we will come to the conclusion of whether or not this trilogy was actually something great, or whether or not this trilogy kind of sucked, a la the new most recent Star Wars trilogy, or perhaps the Fantastic Beasts trilogy for Harry Potter. But we'll get into the volume review in the first part. I'm not really going to do an art review, because for the most part the artwork is good, but it bounces around through so many artists over the books. It's kind of unfair to necessarily review it, in my opinion, because it's not one consistent artist. Perhaps if I was doing issue by issue, it would be a little more fair to review it that way. So instead, I'm just going to kind of focus on the overall story and what's happening. So at the end of Volume 2, Batman returns after being quote-unquote dead during the final crisis, and Dick Grayson had taken over as Batman, partnering with Damian Wayne, and they did the whole Dick Grayson, Damian, Batman, and Robin dynamic duo thing. And then Batman returns at the end of it with, you know, after traveling through time. And now we pick up where Batman has returned, and his plan is a Batman around the world, a bat symbol around the world, if you will. And it's interesting. So this is where the Batman Incorporated story arc that Grant Morrison penned kind of comes into play. And what I find interesting is that Grant Morrison, I know for a fact, when he did his run, he did a lot of research into the history of Batman. I've talked about it before, that he's definitely a fan and he's definitely well-versed in Batman when it comes to these stories, and he digs a lot of things out. Well, this is a kind of a throwback to, like, the, I guess what you would call, like, the 40s and 50s era Batman, where he was a bit international. He was like a government agent at one point, right? And I would say that there's a reason why this era for Batman is kind of forgotten, because it wasn't very good. Because Batman, his kind of singular focus is Gotham City, right? It's one of the reasons why I don't even personally think that Batman works with the Justice League very much, in terms of whether or not the Justice League is doing something that's like a world-ending threat. Like, just because something is powerful doesn't mean it's like a world-ending threat. I understand if it's a world-ending threat, threatens Gotham City, ergo Batman might be concerned. But Batman's kind of singular focus is not world peace or ending crime worldwide. And that's kind of one of my issues, is that he just suddenly becomes like, well, I need to get off, you know, just the Gotham City train, and I need to have the bat symbol be recognized around the world, when there's actual heroes throughout the city. So throughout the places that he goes to around the world. So, like, he finds, you know, El Gacho or Gaucho or however it's supposed to be in Mexico, or he finds, you know, there's like a Native American. I'm not going to go through all of them, but then there's like the Hood in Britain. There's someone in Japan that they call it Batman Japan by the end of it. And these are heroes that are already doing things there, right? And there's no real, he's just like, oh, you guys are already protecting the cities or whatever, I'm going to conscript you in as Batman. And it goes through like this whole, like, put your right hand on this bat Bible of a sorts, and they swear this whole thing into the bat. It almost makes it like this weird cult thing. And I find it interesting because Grant Morrison has actually publicly stated that he doesn't actually think that Bruce Wayne is an unhinged individual or that he's like psychotic or anything like that. Like he's a man who's dealing with trauma, that he's not actually psychotic, unhinged, sociopathic, or anything that bat, you know, fascistic. A lot of the things that Batman in modern contexts, a lot of, you know, people think that they have the galaxy brain and they're like, oh, well, Batman is this kind of person. Grant Morrison as a writer doesn't really think that. And that's why Batman is very multifaceted as a person, as any individual human being would be under his penmanship, as opposed to being this very one-dimensional character. However, this aspect of it, where he almost makes like this cult of the bat, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Batman being worried about international affairs doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me unless those affairs find their way to Gotham, right? Like, the League of Assassins is technically a global threat, but Batman doesn't really follow it from the global sense. It's when it comes to Gotham City that he cares. That's his sphere, right? And that's why that aspect of the Batman Incorporated thing doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. And unfortunately, the first probably two-thirds of the volume is him just going around and conscripting random individuals that are heroes in their own right. But these are like D-list heroes into the Bat family, which used to mean something, and I'll get to that. But first, I think it's more important to focus on the fact that, like I said, why does every city need to have a Bat symbol, a Batman there? And why do we feel as if these people, why does he feel as if these people are worthy to wear the Bat symbol? Like, Nightwing doesn't wear the Bat symbol, Red Hood doesn't wear the Bat symbol, Red Robin, Tim Drake, doesn't wear the Bat symbol. I mean, Barbara Gordon does, but she's Batgirl. She's the only one that's associated with the Bat in that regard, I guess. And my entire point being that Bruce Wayne trained for decades with the masters of every craft that he would seek to try and hone to a razor's edge to round out his arsenal, right? Between various martial arts, detective work, chemistry, engineering, all of these things. And then we just have these random individuals. Who are they trained with? Where did they learn anything? And they just can kind of do some of the same detective work and everything. And you could argue, sure, he conscripted these people because of those reasons. But again, these are random, like, D-list heroes. Like, Knight and Squire are DC Comics IPs. Nobody cares about them. Like, nobody knows who these people are. They literally feel like they're randomly created and conscripted into this thing. And it kind of calls into question the legitimacy of the whole venture in that regard. And really, it kind of downplays what it means to be a Batman and how he has often talked about what it takes to wear that cape, what it takes to wear the cowl, what it takes to wear that symbol when it comes to his other previous protégés, whether it's Dick or Jason or even Damian, his own son. And meanwhile, he just randomly associates it with many of these people. And many of these people don't have the degree of self-control, don't have the ability to put personal vendettas aside. We see that quite a lot. It's, to me, it's almost like saying, you know, like, hey, you're in the Air Force, every airman's a PJ, or every sailor is a SEAL, or every soldier is, you know, a Green Beret. You know, like, that's not how it works. Like, sure, you're good enough to be a soldier, but that doesn't make you a special forces soldier. There is a difference. And I feel like that's Batman compared to a lot of other heroes, especially street level human only heroes. And I want to bring this brings me to the second part. What, you know, you can argue that Bruce is an egotistical man, but again, Grant Morrison has openly said in some of his writings and in some of his interviews that he doesn't view Batman as an individual of great pride or anything. This is an unbelievable level of hubris that Batman demonstrates. Like, his purpose is to fight crime, right? So what difference does it make if it's a Batman fighting the crime or some other dude? You know, I kind of touched on this before, but, like, it doesn't need to be a Batman fighting the crime in Japan if the crime is being fought in Japan. Can't they just be their own heroes? It's kind of the same issue I have with a lot of the things that we see with, like, Spider-Man, and everyone's a Spider-Man now, and multiverse this, but this isn't even multiverse. It's literally Batman just swearing people into this weird cult, and it just, I don't know. It just didn't work for me. And unfortunately, that takes up the first two-thirds of the book. Which then brings me to the last third, right? Where we get to the Leviathan thing and the big reveal that Talia's been behind Leviathan and the Black Glove and everything that we've seen from the beginning of the arc all the way to the end. And if you've ever seen the animated trilogy of, what is it, Son of Batman, Batman versus Robin, and Batman Bad Blood, Batman Bad Blood being not that great, but when I consider Volume 3 of this trilogy of omnibuses, if you're not catching my drift at this point, isn't very great. I can see why it perhaps wasn't as good, but it feels all very anticlimactic to me in a lot of ways. Grant Morrison draws on a lot of great symbolism there, right? With Leviathan, he draws on a lot of biblical symbolism here, you know, the demon horn star being the pentagram. A lot of satanic and biblical imagery of saviors and destroyers and all this kind of stuff. Does a fantastic job with evoking this sort of apocalyptic feel of this struggle between Batman and, to a lesser extent, Batman Incorporated against Talia and Leviathan. It is cheapened a little bit by its conclusion. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone who potentially hasn't read it. I understand that this is over 10 years old now. So, you know, there is probably a statute of limitations on spoiler alerts. Apparently not one on paying a hook or hush money, but, you know, there is probably a statute of limitation on spoiler alerts, but I'm still not going to ruin it for anybody that might be inspired to read this trilogy as a result of these reviews. But that last third is very well done, and it does feel like there are some stakes, and there are a couple of heartbreaking moments, but there are a couple of Deus Ex moments as well, particularly with Jason Todd and how that whole thing comes about. And again, I'm not going to ruin it there. So as a standalone volume, I'd give it like 2 out of 5, if I'm being completely honest. Artwork is for the most part good. It has its ups and downs. Artists rotate, obviously. But the first two-thirds of the book felt like a slog to me, and then the last third actually felt very interesting. There's some good humor there, particularly with Damien. There's some good gag, visual kind of humor with the artists there. I think there's, you know, there's action, there's humor. The last third does work very well. Again, I'm really a fan of a lot of the symbolicness of some of the things that they put in there. So how does it work as a whole, as the trilogy? Well, here's the thing. Grant Morrison's a very interesting writer to me coming off of this now. I've read his work when it came to like Arkham Asylum. I have read Final Crisis, and it seems like Grant Morrison, when he is writing well, it's fantastic. However, when he starts to get into a groove, it's almost like he's the kind of guy that as he's writing, his imagination starts to wander and it starts to take it to an extreme, right? So when Batman's this detective, and now we're going to take him on this time-traveling whirlwind of he's going back to Sparta, and then he's going back to, you know, the Wild West, and then he's going here, and then he's going there, you know, all this taking place when he went back through time after he got Omega beamed by Darkseid. And you have all these I like Batman when he's grounded, right? Give me the gritty, street-level detective where things are grounded enough in reality that you have these off-the-wall psychopaths. And it's like, give me something that's grounded with, like, the edges of it being in the supernatural, right? Almost like Lovecraftian, I guess, in that regard, almost minus Cthulhu. Like, you know, the League of Assassins are there, and they have Lazarus Pits, and they can bring people back from the dead. Or you have, like, this crazy science gone wrong, and you have, like, Man-Bats and or Killer Croc. Like, it stretches out to the edges, right? But it's still grounded a little more. I want the detective. I want the martial arts master. I want the keen mind. I like the fact that Grant Morrison writes a very rounded Batman. I really do. I get tired of the same old, everything sucks, broody, sort of, everyone sucks, no one can hold a candle to what I need them to do, blah, 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 whatever. But Grant Morrison, and he did this in Final Crisis as well, it's almost like he tries to write something. It's like he's trying not just to write a comic and write something really good that can withstand the test of time, which he does. It's almost like he wants to reinvent and elevate the comic to Shakespearean levels. It's a comic book, bro. At the end of the day, no matter how good the story is, people are still going to turn around and go, exactly that. It's a comic book, bro. And to an extent, it almost gets to the point where it's hard to follow things, especially as artists excuse me, artists change and things rotate. Not everybody draws characters the same way. So like when Jason Todd was reintroduced, he didn't look like Jason Todd to me because he didn't look like Jason Todd the way we've seen him drawn at every other point in the arc. So it made sort of that reveal fall a little flat, and that's one of those things that I feel writers kind of have to take into account. So we get this very convoluted arc with a lot of different aspects to it, and then it doesn't even really wrap itself up. Now, I understand that he did that on purpose so that people could play with it for future stories, and I think that's great. I know that a lot of the time traveling stuff, having read it now, kind of plants the seed a little bit for some of the Dark Knight's metal stuff that Scott Snyder would do in the New 52, and that whole arc there, which again is fun, but that's another arc that I should probably do perhaps a retro review of sometime, because it's when it you take something and you have fun with it and then you just go way too far and it gets into like overkill territory, right? And that's kind of what I feel Grant Morrison does. When he is on, he is on. He does great things. And then it's like if I were to sum the whole thing up, right? The entire arc, the same way I summed up Volume 3, except in this case, two-thirds of it is great. And then a third of it is shit. Frankly, I think if he had never gone down the Batman Inc. route, which particularly I felt was like the real low point, the time travel stuff I was rolling my eyes at. Everybody who's listened to this show for any length of time knows I hate time travel, but it would have been a tolerable sort of time travel because the way they handled it was at least well enough, and it didn't rewrite any history the way other times time travel is used as a plot device is there to do. And he just left out the Batman Inc. stuff. I would have said that this is a run that arguably could rival runs like Chuck Dixon, Paul Dini, some of the all-time greats. It would be up there with those. However, incorporating the Batman Incorporated stuff, which I redundantly use words there, I think it just holds it back just a little bit from being at that like S tier to just like A plus. It is a good trilogy. It is worth your time. It is worth reading. Just be aware that the third volume kind of gets muddled. And this is a thing I've criticized comics about as a whole, is that a lot of times they're really good at doing the buildup, and then for some reason the end always feels smushed and very haphazard and very quickly done, and then they're is sometimes a lot of plot devising in order to make it all work instead of actually developing a good pacing. And that's really what holds this third volume back. Overall, good run over three volumes. If you get a chance to read them, highly recommend it. Grant Morrison is without a doubt a fantastic writer. I am taking nothing away from him. It's just, I have to be honest where honesty, I have to be honest in all things rather, and criticism where criticism was due. I find the third volume to be a little lackluster. So that's our two-part review, if you will, for Grant Morrison's run, Volume 3, and the run in totality of his Batman tenure. I'm HVK. If you happen to like what we're saying here, I should have probably put this at the beginning, but maybe I'll do it there too. But if you happen to like the show, please follow us on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. We post there every week. Or if you really like it, you can follow us on Twitter, handle at HVKAmericanon, where I post these episodes weekly as well after we publish them, so they're there for ease to find it. And also my random little shit posts and commentary on anything review related from movies, television, comics, music, pop culture, and as well as sometimes colorful culture commentary as well, because if you like this, maybe you like some of our other retro reviews. V and I do game reviews, music reviews, movie reviews. We talk about writing, we talk about story development, all those kinds of things. We talk to professionals in the industry, and then of course we have our weekly Clown World segments where we just try to rip on anything and everything from the serious to the not so serious. So I hope you guys like it. Thank you for taking your time. Like I said, I hope you have a happy, or had, excuse me, a happy Easter, and I hope everybody has a good spring moving forward. That's it for me. You guys take it easy. Carry on.